Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
All right, it is our number two on this Football Friday. Coming up in the top of next hour, we got our Weekend Would You Rather. This hour, we will have Joel Klatt, Fox college football analyst. Mm-hmm. We are Joel Klatt defenders. People have been coming at Joel.
Why do I don't need to defend it. He's a big boy. He can handle it.
No. Again, on social media.
Oh, boy.
I'll be a social media warrior for him.
Will you?
No, that takes too much effort.
It does.
People have been coming at him because of a take 2 years old, and he's like, dude, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Alabama didn't look that good a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But Joel will join us at 7:30. We'll have an update to the Oregon State-Washington line. But first, before we do that, we got to give away I'm a P1 t-shirt.
And again, guys, you've done an awesome job.
Do we actually?
This is so, I say it every week because it's great. Your questions are fantastic. You could all come in here and take my spot and just interview everybody. Mm-hmm. You do a great job, and your questions and every single one of these questions. And eventually we're going to get you all a Dusty and Cam P1 shirt because keep the questions going. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we're number one. We'll be giving another one in the 8 o'clock hour, too.
Yes, we will.
So keep your questions coming on the Better You Today text line 55305. But P1 Dustin got the good conversation and good questions rolling early. Mm-hmm. And P1 Dustin asked, he sent a couple of them in. But his first question that he sent in was one that got the entire thing rolling about it's a point in the year where teams making playoff pushes. Mm-hmm. In mailing it in and kind of what to look for, because on the surface, they all kind of look the same and everybody's 500.
Yeah.
So P1 Dustin, thank you for being the conversation starter. You will be getting a P1 t-shirt. Buck will be texting you shortly. Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, P1 bro. Hey, and if you guys are P1s and you want to come and hang out, coming up on Monday, It is the Civil War party. At Big Al's in Beaverton, Monday from 4 to 8 p.m. It's presented by Coors Light. Get your ticket for just $10.80. All the proceeds will go to the Oregon Food Bank this holiday season. You go to 1080thefan.com, buy your ticket, $10.80. You'll get into the private party at Big Al's in Beaverton. Mm-hmm. Complimentary football appetizers. The air staff will be there. Former players, Ducks and Beavers, will be there as well. Isaac and Suk, Primetime Live. What?
Should we make Isaac and Suk and Dirt and Sprague a little jealous?
Why?
We should bring Brugge and have a couple P1 shirts to give away.
Oh, are we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do that. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
We're gonna separate the men from the boys.
Dirt and Anthony Newman will be having Ducks Roundtable after Isaac and Suk, so it's going to be a great time, and 100% of the tickets go to Oregon Food Bank. Got to be 21 years or older. Oh, and we're going to have a ton of stuff to give away, including a Yeti Tundra Cooler valued at $400. Folks, no, you cannot have it.
Dang it.
All right, got that out.
Is that how much those coolers cost?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you just said $400. Pretty a lot of money.
Good luck. You might have to wrestle me for that.
By the way,
I'm going to come in with a wig on. There's going to be a P1 guy with a beard with a wig.
By the way, there's a reason why people literally jump in front of my golf cart.
Mm.
When
Stop!
When I'm driving around Autzen Stadium, they want that cooler.
Things you will do for free.
So go to 1080thefan.com and join us. All right, right now, 7:08.
What's hot?
Spooking!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, just yesterday, you asked me, how Bull Bull is doing for Oregon.
Yeah, how did Bull Bull do?
I said good. Well, he's not so good anymore.
What happened?
He injured his right calf last night as the 13th ranked Ducks lost their opener at the 2K Classic in New York City to Iowa, and they kind of got rolled. They lost by 8, 77-69, and Bull Bull injured his right calf, but it doesn't seem serious. That's not good.
Yeah, he kept going back in the game, but it forced him out of the game three separate occasions in the second half.
That's too bad.
Yeah, he said he's going to be out. Dane Altman saying he'll be all right.
Okay.
But now,
good news.
The Ducks take on Syracuse. Good basketball program.
Yeah, I would think so.
Jim
Boeheim guy.
Crew has.
Coaching forever.
When's he going to retire?
Never.
He's old.
He's old. Who's older? Him or Mike Krzyzewski?
Oh, I think Boeheim is. Boeheim's 73.
By a landslide?
Okay.
How old is Krzyzewski?
Oh, gosh.
68?
Oh, Mike Krzyzewski. That's my guess. That comes up.
It's my guess.
Ooh. No. It's not that much.
61.
Boeheim, 73.
Yeah.
Krzyzewski, 71.
See? I'm telling you.
2 years. 2 years. 73, 71.
Does Krzyzewski dye his hair?
Yes.
Yes. No.
All right. Ask an answer.
What? Are you just saying this to be contrarian?
You know who else I caught dyeing their hair? LeBron James. Facial hair dye.
Oh.
Two nights before.
Wait, you caught him?
I caught him doing it. I told him. I sold him out.
Were you going into
the
his
The night
bedroom?
He missed his double free throws, he had gray hairs coming out of the beard.
Well, missing free throws.
All over.
Missing free throws.
And then against the Blazers,
perfectly.
Perfectly combed in and brushed in.
A little like just for men combing?
It was like, where are the grays? Right. The grays were. He saw it. He watches.
All right.
The handlers made sure.
The handlers made. That is very true. Nike did it.
Well, of course, Nike did it
while he was sleeping.
Yes.
They're like, we can't have our front man doing this.
Yeah.
As expected, Christian Yelich won the NL MVP. Mookie Betts picked up the AL honor yesterday. Landslides.
Yeah, should have. Easiest vote ever.
Did you hear the audio of the interview with the one knucklehead that didn't vote for Jacob DeGrom?
No, I don't want to hear about this high school news writer guy.
No. It was awesome. Buck, I sent it in the email. Will you pull this? At some point, we need to play this. He did an interview in New York with, like, the nicest guy ever, Steve Summers, and he hung up 15 seconds into the interview. So,
because he's so sensitive?
Thick skin
news reporter guy.
To be fair,
didn't the interviewer start the interview by saying, how do you look yourself in the mirror?
Okay, but
that's fair.
Context is everything. And when you hear how the guy said it.
I'm going to need to hear this.
It wasn't like he was like aggressive New York radio douche. He was actually being very calm about it. It was like a joke. He knew it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As expected, Carmelo Anthony no longer Houston Rocket. And it looked like it was the spark that the Rockets needed. He will have the opportunity to seek a new team now. So, get ready, Blazer fans.
Who will it be?
Get ready, Blazer fans.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Miami. It's got to be Miami, right?
Well, he wants to go be on the banana.
No state income tax either. Go do it.
Good point.
He wants to go.
That's a really good point.
And be on the banana.
Well, it's one of his banana buddies.
That is true. Banana boat, yeah. Dwayne Wade. Last night, KD and Draymond squashed their beef, and the Rockets squashed the Warriors 107-86. It was a beatdown. Nuggets pummeled the Hawks 138-93. We're seeing a lot of, like, huge blowouts, like 40-point blowouts in the NBA this year.
That's going to happen to the Hawks a lot, though. They might be the worst team in the league.
Well, it happened to the Jazz the other night.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but didn't... Donovan didn't play in that game, correct?
No, he did.
He did play in that game?
That shows you, oh my gosh, that's really bad. Yeah, it was bad.
Teams are just giving up early in the season. Who knew?
Clippers spin the Spurs 116-111 thanks to 23 off the bench from Lou Williams as well.
God, he's so good. How's he not a star? More times I watch him, I go, he's a sixth man of the year every year. But God, is he good.
So is Jamal Crawford, though.
I know, but the Clippers end up always finding the sixth man of the year.
Yeah, true. It's that fourth and fifth starter that they really need, though.
Yeah. Maybe that's Evan Turner.
Stop.
Why not? Evan Turner would be a good sixth man of the year. Come on.
Oh, you're talking about here in Portland. Yeah. I thought you were talking about send him down to L.A.
No. I said potentially.
Ooh, I have a Blazers injury update.
Know.
You want that?
Let's go.
Seth Curry, you were worried about him?
Worried about the knee.
How worried? Scale of 1 to 10. What do you think it is?
I'm going to give it a 6.
He went down with that right knee injury. Curry saying yesterday he will sit tonight in Minnesota, but he'll hopes to return at some point on this road trip. Oh, it was just a bruise.
So the out indefinitely.
It was It was just a bone bruise, MRI said. So it's okay. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
I would sure love an orthopedist to tell me how to recover from a bone bruise.
Zero Currys playing in the NBA right now.
It's true.
Zero Currys. Yeah, who got blown out last night, Buck?
We did.
Who's we?
Me and my team. Me and my favorite team.
You're a weer.
All right. Last night, Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, top the Green Bay Packers 27-24 over on ESPN Portland 9-10. Aaron Rodgers thrown for 332 yards, two touchdowns, but it was five sacks, four of which came on third down, doing them in. Plus, Russell Wilson finding the end zone twice. One touchdown throw to Doug Baldwin, another one to Ed Dixon, the former Oregon Duck. Seahawks alive? Do they make the playoffs after that one?
You live to fight another day.
That's still not a game. Watching that game,
You got to count them out?
I'm just as confused about what those teams are after last night than I was heading in.
We talked about it, whether that tie matters or not. It puts them right now game and a half behind Minnesota.
Yeah. I'm not going to count out Green Bay. Just give me one more week to watch what happens versus Minnesota, and then we'll put the nail in the coffin.
All right, Hot and Cool on the Fans, brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Terrain. Start saving today at areaheating.com. All right, the Pac-12 weekend, not that much intrigue, but some movement in the Oregon State versus Washington line. And do the Ducks get things back on the right track in Autzen? Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, the Pac-12 weekend is less than stellar. Not a lot of intrigue here. Really around college football. I went and I was looking this up because I was like, okay, I go through my chaos theory every week of what the most chaotic thing will be, scenario for each week. And there's no possible way. I spent 10 minutes last night trying to convince myself that Duke could beat Clemson, and I did not. I was looking for any
Why
metric.
Why would you put yourself through that torture?
Because I like Coach Cutcliffe, and I just want chaos. But the only thing, literally the only statistical category in which Duke is better than Clemson is penalties per game.
Okay.
That's it. So we're not going to see a lot. In fact,
there's only one game that matters in that conference this week.
The ACC?
Yeah.
Syracuse, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big one. And that's really the only game that we have. You know that the average, and even, you know, Notre Dame's favored by 10.5.
I know.
In the top 10... There's only one team that is not favored by double digits this week. Do you know which one?
Only one team.
Only one team is not favored by double digits this week in the entire top 10.
Excellent question. I do not know.
It is West Virginia. They are 4.5-point favorites at Oklahoma State. Other than that,
Oklahoma State's been close in every game. They've almost knocked off everybody.
Give them a participation trophy.
Yeah, but they've had the lead in the fourth quarter with a lot of these teams, and they haven't been able to finish. And that's probably why Mike Gundy's very upset that his players are leaving, and they're soft millennial snowflakes.
God. Did you see the rebut to that? Those comments? SB Nation torched Mike Gundy.
Oh, yeah, they torched him because of all the guys that he's moved, that he's done.
Well, and the fact that he decommitted from Oklahoma when he was in college it was playing time, and he didn't think he'd get playing time, and he didn't think he'd get a, quote, fair shot.
He's talking out of both sides of his mouth right now.
And then he quit the baseball team at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, losing.
For those same reasons.
Losing will do that.
Yeah, okay, but anyways, they're the only team that isn't favored, West Virginia, that is not favored by double digits. The average point spread for the top 10 teams this week is 29 points. Like, it's going to be blowout.
Well, it's because the SEC is playing a bunch of patsies.
Well, there's that. And then you have teams like, I mean, Oklahoma is 35.5-point favorites over Kansas, which is a big one. And then 10.5-point spread, Washington State at Arizona, man. Nothing easy about that one.
No.
Do you kind
of
get
a... Don't look by the Wildcats.
Who are coming off a bye.
Don't look past them, Cougs.
Their secondary's been playing better.
By the way...
J.J. Taylor can run the football.
By the way, which cat is tougher in this matchup?
Cougar.
Than a Wildcat?
Yes.
You right away, Cougar. Just no question.
Wildcats are small.
It doesn't matter.
And technically, both cats are wild.
Yeah, they're both wild cats. Yeah. Cougars are intimidating.
Cougars are bigger, fiercer, bigger claws, longer reach. That's not a good
question. If we roll down to Ashland, though, we could find the telepathic cougar lady, and we could control the cougars.
But that's with all cats. She would do that to the wild cat.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just a cougar.
This is hands down an easy call.
Yeah.
The battle of the cats.
Oh, yeah. The cougar would beat the wild cat. I mean, research department, will you please look up how much a wild cat and how much a cougar weigh?
But isn't a cougar a wild cat anyway? So couldn't I just say it's
a
wild cat?
No, it is
a
wild space cat, not a wild cat.
Right. Isn't a wild cat essentially a bobcat?
Yep.
Bobcat's very cool looking.
Yeah.
Better looking than cougars, in my opinion.
That's a bold claim. I disagree with that as well.
I love the ears. It's very cool. Anyway, Pac-12.
Football. I do like the ears too and the whiskers. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyways. We were talking about the Washington game as well, and that spread 32.5 you said was way too much. It's up to 33.5.
So it's moving.
Yeah, which means that like a lot of people are on board with the sharps in Vegas believe that Washington's going for the style points this weekend.
They're going to try to do some style points.
To try and get in that New Year's Six conversation if they win. They need to.
Yeah, they're coming off a bye. So they had 2 weeks to get ready for Oregon State, which Oregon State. You get 2 weeks to get healthy, which means they're going to get a lot of players back, like Hunter Bryant. And you're going to see Miles Gaskin. His shoulder's been bothering him, so he's got an extra week. And there might be a little bit of heading up to Montlake and say, we're going to just put up some points this weekend. I still think Oregon State covers the 32. It just feels like that's a crap ton of points this late in the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
If that was a Citadel or a San Jose State, I would feel pretty comfortable with it. But this is still a Pac-12 team.
That's true. Well, but that can't play like a defense right now.
No, they can't. You can't. And Oregon State went on the road versus Stanford, and I thought that game would be a little bit better. It wasn't much.
It was not good.
It was not good.
It was not good at all.
And Stanford was hung over after getting thumped up a little bit in a battle versus Washington.
Yeah. I like the two. I got three upsets in the top 10 this week that could give the Armageddon. Washington State in Arizona. Mm-hmm. West Virginia, Oklahoma State. And then Notre Dame, Syracuse.
So not the Citadel, huh?
Not the Citadel over Alabama.
Okay.
Huskies by 21. OSU covers that one coming in. I don't know. UW can't score 33 with Browning.
I would put the 24. That would be my number.
Okay.
24 points.
24, and it was the number last week for OSU at Stanford. OSU did not cover.
Bet with caution. Coming up next, we defend this man, Joel Klatt, Fox College football analyst. He'll be on the call for Michigan and Indiana. What does he believe is the big issue with the college football playoff committee after the most recent rankings? Dustin Cam on the fan. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Joel Klatt going to be joining us in a couple of minutes from now as he is very busy, probably doing far more important
Not
things.
Busy enough for Dusty and Cam, though.
No, he's making time for us. Did you see the blow-up last night during the hour Tulane Green Wave against Houston game? You see that blow-up on the sidelines?
I did.
Ed Oliver, projected number one overall pick, and his head coach, Major Applewhite, got into a little tussle over Ed Oliver not playing because of a right knee injury. They got into a tussle over him wearing a sideline jacket.
Yes. Because there's more to this story.
Major Applewhite says that players that aren't playing, they can't wear those sideline jackets, and Ed Oliver took exception to it.
Oh, Ed Oliver is going to be a top five pick.
It can't be that easy, though.
He has been out with a knee, and he's going to be a top five pick. His team is average. He has checked out. And that does not sit well with your head football coach, who then took time out to stop on the sideline and made sure he grabbed at his jacket.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem that Ed Oliver had, is that it wasn't like a, hey, take the jacket off if you're not playing.
He could have sent a GA over to do that.
Major Applewhite, well, they did, but nothing was happening. But apparently Major Applewhite had told other guys that weren't playing, you can't wear the jacket. I think Ed Oliver had a big problem with him coming up and actually grabbing the jacket off his shoulders and trying to pull it off. But this really does come down to Ed Oliver's going to the NFL. Yeah. He was running around looking just fine on the field before the game, jumping up, catching the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
And nothing seemed to be wrong. This seems like there's more brewing here than what we
thought. Oh, these are going to be things that happen quite often, especially at smaller schools. If you're a superstar at a small school, if you're at a real, the difference is the Bosa situation where you remove yourself completely and don't want to be a distraction. This guy's being a distraction. Major Applewhite's trying to win football games. He knows that Ed Oliver would help him win football games because he's an elite defensive player. And so now he's not end up being out there. It makes it more difficult. He's trying to set rules, trying to be a leader. All these things are difficult. And then plus, here's a young guy that knows he means more for his future than he does for Major Applewhite.
Yeah, and it was a big blow, but it's much ado about nothing.
Oh, I think I think it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. That's a big deal in college football because that's the trend. It is the trend now for that when you are a top-end player, if you feel at any point in time your future's in question, you can just stop and you don't have to play anymore.
Well, that's what they do in their pros. They're kind of taking the lead from guys like Le'Veon Bell.
Correct, but they're not pros yet. They're still amateurs, quote-unquote amateurs.
But I think that there's probably more credence to this in that he knows he's going to be number one pick. He hasn't gotten any money yet.
No.
Like, you know, Le'Veon, these guys, these pros, they've gotten their money. You know, there's more at risk if somebody wants to take out his knee and take him out. It is a dicey situation, though, down there because, remember, Major Applewhite isn't the guy. Yeah. This is a five-star recruit, Ed Oliver was, that committed to Tom Herman.
Right.
And when Tom Herman left, Major Applewhite came in. That's not his guy. And so that's the big issue that they have here is, you know, these guys aren't necessarily don't see eye to eye in the first place either. All right. He joins us every single Friday at this time. It is 7:35.
Buffalo Soldier. It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Flat with a play action. Going to go long, and he's got a man there.
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it. Like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the Fan by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, he joins us every Friday at 7:30. It is Joel Klatt, Fox College football analyst. He's on the call for Michigan and Indiana this weekend. Good morning, Joel.
Morning. What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Oh, good. Just spectacular, Joel. I'm going to come out guns blazing with this. I want your thoughts.
I am. All right, let's go. Let's go. Pew, pew, pew.
Ed Oliver last night, I want you to get your first initial reaction with Major Applewhite because I'm going to read into this more and say this is a coach that's like, man, you could help us. What are you doing on taking the dang jacket off? Do you like seeing these players doing this now, especially at a school that needs him more than what their coach knows? I mean, do you see that? What was your first initial reaction with that?
The jacket or him not playing?
Both. I mean, because I think it's linked. Wouldn't you say it's quite linked of the patience of Major's? Like, look, I know you're out there warming up. I know you can play, but you're not going to do it because you're going to be a top five pick. Does that sit well with you, looking at these players doing that in the future?
Well, I think that the system forces them to at least acknowledge that they're in that situation. Right. I mean, listen, Cam, I would never do that as a player, but
I
don't want to take that away from somebody else. You know, I was never in that position. Heck, I was a walk-on. I had to go be an undrafted free agent to get a contract for one training camp, you know? So that was my mentality. I was raised by a Vietnam War veteran, first lieutenant, you know, in the Marine Corps. So my perspective is way different. I never had the lottery ticket. Hmm. Never. He does. And candidly, you know, I know we all sit here and we want to talk about him specifically, but the system happens to be broken, in my estimation. Cam, you know that Ed Oliver possesses a skill that happens to be one of only two skills in the country, the entire country, that you cannot monetize until some arbitrary point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Skill, I said, not prerequisite degree. Like everyone's like, well, you're a doctor. A doctor's not a skill. You go to school to be a doctor. You don't go to school to be a good enough football player to play in the National Football League. He could have been in the draft last year. So he's arbitrarily held in school for no no reason really, except for the veterans and the owners colluded against these young kids and said, we don't want them in the league until some arbitrary point. So it's in the CBA, which these kids are unable to sit at the table and negotiate for themselves, and yet it impacts them greatly. So, you know, if he's not going to play or Nick Bosa is not going to play, I don't want to hold that against him. I don't want to hold that against Christian McCaffrey if he doesn't want to play in a meaningless Sun Bowl, so on and so forth. Now, the coat incident, I thought, was more indicative of, candidly, a guy that just thinks that he is better than his teammates. Mm-hmm. Now, I might be, I don't know Ed, okay? I have not covered Houston. But the way that Major described it after the game, when he was saying, listen, I told everyone to take the coats off. It was, I didn't feel like it was cold enough to have our parkas on the sideline. So it was a toughness issue for my team. I didn't want them out there. And I told everyone to take them off that weren't playing in the game, whether it was trainers, other players. So in order to be fair and consistent, which is, I think, of the utmost of importance for any coach, he told Ed to take it off, and Ed blew a gasket. I think that that's a bad look, candidly, for Ed Oliver. But I might not. I might be in the minority when it comes to that.
And for the record, I agree with you completely. I think the system is broken, and I like you, raised by a military family. So there is a different kind of mentality. But I agree with you that when you're that kind of an elite player and you're going to make millions of dollars, it just is, that's, you have to protect your own entity at that point in time.
All right. Joel Klatt is our guest, Fox College football analyst. Let's move on to some teams that are going to be like playoff contenders maybe, or in that conversation. Oklahoma's offense is absolutely insane right now, and they're getting credit for being so good offensively. The committee's actually acknowledging their terrible defense isn't being held against them as much. Should Washington State's defense maybe be getting a little bit of credit, or is that just the offense in the Pac-12 being that bad?
Maybe a little of both. You know, I think that right now OU's offense is on such a tear right now that I think it's easy to overlook some of the other issues that they're having. Just to give you a sense of that, okay, when you take what I would deem as the most important offensive statistic outside of actually scoring points. So a metric of exactly how dominant you are is, I think, yards per play. Well, they're leading the country in yards per play at 8.91. That's an absurd standard. That would be the highest yards per play in the history of the sport. And they lead the number two team in the country, Alabama, by 1.15 yards. So that's a huge gap, okay? The difference between Alabama and Nebraska, who's 15th in the country, is 1.15. To go 1.15 past Nebraska, you've got to go to the 84th team in the country, which is Indiana. So the margin by which they are playing offense is pretty substantial as far as how much better they are than everybody else. And so if the committee is giving them a touch of a pass for that, it's not just that they happen to have the best offense in the country, it's that it's so far and away the best offense in the country that they're getting a pass for what is a horrific defense. And it is a horrific defense. Trust me when I tell you that. Just to give you an idea and from a statistical measure, they have played defensively 168 more snaps than Michigan has. Okay, 168 is so, I mean, I can't even put that into words outside of the fact that the average FBS team averages 70 snaps defensively per game. So that's 2.5 games more that the OU defense has played this year than the Michigan defense, who's the Michigan's is the top defense in the country.
So with that said, Joel, if you were matching up against Alabama in that top four, phrase this so it makes complete sense. Would you rather try to out offense or match up offenses versus Alabama, or just sit there and go, fine, we're not going to be able to stop you on defense. Forget it. Okay, go up and down the field on us, but we have to play offense. I know, like a Michigan or Notre Dame or some of these teams that have very good defenses. We saw with LSU, it could stop them a little bit, couldn't score. Wouldn't you just say, fine, forget it. We'll just do a track meet with you. We're not going to try to stop you on defense.
Well, I think it depends on what, you know, your strength is. I think OU is put into a corner where they're going to have to do the track meet. So it's like, hey, let's go. Let's get in the blocks and let's rock. You know, we're going to try to win 62-58. I think Michigan and Georgia and Clemson and Notre Dame would be in a different boat if they were to face Alabama. And the reason is because Bama actually struggled offensively last week. Scoring only 24 points when you're supposed to have an offense that averages over 50 points is actually a blueprint for how to beat that team. Mississippi State's defense is very good. I'm not going to take anything away from Mississippi State, but Georgia's defense, I think, is equal to that. I think Michigan's defense is better than Mississippi State. So now all of a sudden you're putting a crack in that foundation of what Alabama has been all year. And they're a great team. I would favor them by about a touchdown over everybody in the country. But now all of a sudden those guys have a path. Speaking of those teams that have solid defenses, you can say, hey, we might be able to hold Alabama under 30 points. So now all we got to do is find a way to score on that defense. And that defense has been playing unbelievable the last 2 weeks. They haven't given up a point, but albeit against some really bad offenses. So I think that Alabama is actually more vulnerable now than they have been at any point in the season. Not saying I would pick anybody to beat them, but I think that there's more of a path for more teams around the country after last week's game against Mississippi State than maybe we would have thought a month ago.
Joel Klatt is our guest, Fox College football analyst. Now, with that said, this seems like it's the perfect time for the Citadel to become rolling in to Tuscaloosa this weekend. Why don't other conferences besides the SEC protect their teams before rivalry games and at this point in the season?
Yeah, so you have to understand the origins of why the nine conference games schedule came into play. And the only conferences that do it did it by choice, and they did it for a very specific reason. Okay, so the first conference to do it was the Pac-12, and they did it for really two reasons. The first being their teams don't generate enough ratings against non-conference opponents to get the type of media deal that they wanted back in 2011, so they decided to play nine conference games. The reason that they all agreed to it is that they had been doing it for years. They had been doing it for years, the only caveat being that they didn't have a conference championship game. They were doing what the Big 12 is doing now, the round-robin style of Pac-10 schedule. So they thought, hey, you know, nine conference games will add the conference championship game. We're all going to make more money. Plus, also the caveat with the two divisions, splitting up Stanford and Cal and USC and UCLA, those four schools threw a fit and said, we want to play our intra-California rivals every single year. Well, the only way to do that in a two-division format is to make it a nine-conference game schedule. So that's why the Pac-12 has the nine conference games plus a conference championship. The Big 12, it's very simple. They got left out of the first playoff. They needed the 13th data point, so they created the Big 12 championship game. And then the Big 10, I think that the reason the Big 10 did it is for the similar reason to the Pac-12, which was a monetary deal. I think that the media rights contract that they're under right now is so substantial. And it's so large, and part of the reason is because they're playing nine conference games. So all of those things lead to those conferences doing it. ACC and the SEC have never been put in that position where they've had to switch or had to change or had to look at doing something in order to make more money because they're making a lot of money regardless. So until the SEC is forced to change, they're not going to change, nor should they.
You know, with early signing period now moved to December, staying in the Pac-12, and I have to ask you this question because you being in California still, Clay Helton said, I feel good about my job. Lynn Swann hasn't made any moves yet. Does he keep his job? And if you were the athletic director at USC, who would you throw money at? Who would you go after? Even if it said, fine, tell us no, but we're USC, we'd still go after him.
Well, I think, if UCLA beats USC, I think that's a wrap this week. So I think this week is a do or die for Clay and his job. It might have already been decided. I know that that school is up against some financial obligations that are outside of the athletic department that might be making it harder for Lynn Swann to make a move that he wants to or desires to. Remember now, without a president and what that university is facing from the lawsuit perspective outside of the athletic department, there might not be an appetite to just spend millions of dollars just to have a guy not work for you anymore. But remember, they're spending close to, I believe, nine figures in some of those lawsuit settlements that they had outside of the athletic department. Now, having said that, if there was a change, I think that the guy I would go after personally is Jeff Brohm at Purdue. I know a lot of people are tying him to Louisville, but candidly, guys, with Louisville's upheaval, in particular with their largest donor, you know, pulling his name off the stadium and everything that they've been through. Do you really think that Louisville's a better job than Purdue? Because I don't think it is right now. So I would stay at Purdue if it's just Louisville that's offering me a job. And if USC came knocking, I would absolutely come out and do that. I think Jeff Brohm's an excellent coach, and I think that he's done a heck of a job. Another name that I think you got to be aware of is a guy like Dino Babers at Syracuse.
We love Dino.
He's done like a marvelous job. They're seventh in the country in scoring. Think about it this way. Let's say, and I'm at Michigan, and I'm not saying that this guy's going to move, but let's say you could get Dino and pair him with a guy like Don Brown, the defensive coordinator here at Michigan. You know, if you threw enough money at both of those guys, you could get him, and you got kind of a two-for-one, and I think that would be a pretty substantial force in the Pac-12, to be quite honest with you.
Joel Klatt, college football analyst, and as we heard here with the SEC scheduling thing, college football historian.
Yes, very much so.
Joel Klatt. He'll be at the Big House, Michigan, Indiana, this weekend. Oh, which is, really quick before we let you go, what is your favorite stadium to go to? Best atmosphere that Joel Klatt goes
whichever
to?
Whichever one has the biggest game. It's so game-dependent, I got to tell you. Like, I get asked this question all the time. Big House is obviously cool. It's great to come here. It's great to go to Texas. It's great to do a game at OU. But it really only makes a difference if these games are big that we're doing at these places. So that's my stock answer.
Okay, are
if it's a big game, I'll call it a game at Jones Junior High School and love it.
Jones Junior. Okay, so can we just say right now,
Justin,
you're going
to roll his eyes at me, and he thought to himself, "Of course you would. You'd work anywhere."
You're going to be at the Horseshoe next week, right? Can we all just assume that?
Yeah.
Now that is going to be awesome. That is going to be awesome.
That's the best game I do, hands down, either stadium, whether it's at Michigan Stadium or in Columbus, no doubt.
Well, Joel, have fun with the warm-up, Michigan, Indiana, for the big game that you got next weekend. Joel Klatt, thanks for your time, man.
You got it, fellas. Have a good one.
You too. All right. Went way over with Joel, but it's always worth it when Joel Klatt comes on. Pretty interesting stuff that he said about the USC job. Let's revisit that next. 7:50 on the Fan. All right. Great stuff with Joel Klatt. I love what he said about USC job. Jeff Brohm, huh? If you missed what he was talking about, Purdue's head coach Jeff Brohm has been rumored to be taking over at his alma mater, Louisville.
Yeah.
That was Dan Dockich who reported that, the college basketball analyst.
Yeah.
Dan Dockich, who he hosts.
Well, it is Louisville.
He hosts a radio show in Indianapolis. Yeah. So it's close to West Lafayette. Yeah. But it's still.
Is that like me reporting Timbers news?
Yeah. It would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense because it'd be like, that guy's from Portland. And then we'll kind of leave it at that.
That's about it.
You know? And then that's basically the report there. But he says at USC, Brohm would fit. Brohm is a guy who's a little rough around the edges. I'm not sure if he'd work personality-wise at USC, like a guy like Dino Babers, who Klatt also mentioned, because Dino Babers is more like jovial, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of guy, can work the media and work a room a little bit better. Brohm broke his neck and wanted it to get taped up and so he could play again. Like, that's what kind of guy, he's played in the XFL type dude.
It's a different kind of guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
At quarterback.
But I think the one thing that Klatt says that, you know, you have said, like we've all kind of thought of it, they've got a blank checkbook. They can write a check wherever they want. They're going to shoot for the moon for this. Is Jeff Brohm or Dino Babers shooting for the moon?
You never know. At this point in time, I wish we could answer the question. The best question is going to be, do they want youth? Do they want they need a recruiter. They need a dynamic personality that can recruit and connect to the community. Dino Babers, I'm telling you, every time I hear him talk, it just gets better and better.
All right. Joel Klatt, every week brought to us by 808. Go get those Hawaiian grinds, folks. If you missed that interview, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Coming up next hour, we have got football Q&A still. We got another t-shirt to be giving away.
Whoop.
Plus some Washington State Cougar news that's dropping right now. But next, it's the weekend Would You Rather. Always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining on the Fan.